Coaches. Welcome back to the Coaches Rising podcast. This is episode number 26. And in today's podcast, we're going to be exploring a model of different states of consciousness that we can coach from. And I love this model. It's introduced to me by Jim Dethmer, who's the guest on today's podcast. And he got it from Michael Beckwith. So props to him. People often come to coaching because they want to be empowered. They may feel like they don't have control over something they want to create in their lives, and they find a great coach and they learn to create what they want. And that's beautiful. And I've seen it time and time again where as people gain mastery over creating what they want, they still feel like something's missing. And they might even notice that this quest for mastery is driven by the need to control their lives. And so we're going to explore what happens if we get to that place. We're going to explore this model, to me, by me, through me, as me. And in particular, this through me consciousness. What is it? How do we access it? What benefits does that bring? And how can we access it in our coaching? So that's what we're going to explore today with Jim. Jim is the co-founder of the Conscious Leadership Group and the author of the highly acclaimed 15 Commitments of Conscious Leadership. So let's dive straight in. I don't have to tell you that these are turbulent times. They're astonishing times. Many people are feeling deeply challenged, more reactive, and my sense is in more need of coaching than ever. And while these times are full of challenges, they're also ripe with evolutionary potential. This is the gift of these times. And I think it's these moments that coaches are built for, so we can help our clients unlock the deeper capacities and intelligence that's required of them now. And that's exactly what our newest program, Unlocking Leaders, is all about. You'll learn how to work at the source code of change, beyond strategy, beyond protocol, at the level of consciousness itself. This, for me, has been by far the biggest leverage I have with my clients. It's the most potent move I can make, because the level of consciousness a leader is operating from determines everything. What they notice, what they miss, whether they react defensively, stay grounded, whether they tighten in control or open into creativity and collaborativity, and ultimately what becomes possible in how they lead. And when you work at this level, you'll be able to tap into these hidden drivers behind decisions and behaviors and unlock possibilities in situations that once felt stuck. And beyond that, importantly, you're going to cultivate a capacity that AI will never possess. As AI expands and begins to dominate procedural and operational coaching, as it grows, it's becoming clearer what it cannot do. And it can't feel, it can't connect in the same way when two human beings come together and the field that they create becomes part of the transformational conversation. It can't work with consciousness, the very source of transformation and the source of the most powerful coaching moves. This is what separates good coaches from great coaches working at this level. And AI can't touch this. So if you're interested to find out more about this program, if you feel called to join us, then head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. The first class is June 16th with Jim Dethmer, just an incredible, masterful coach. And he's joined by Bob Anderson, also a true pioneer in the field of conscious leadership and coaching. And if you sign up by May 29th, you can get the early bird discount. Enrollment is open until June 12th. So head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. Hello, Jim. Great to be with you again today. How's things with you today?
Oh, fantastic, Joel, and great to be with you. Really, I feel delighted being in this conversation with you.
Yeah. We always have fun, don't we?
We do.
Let's hope we do this time.
It's unarguable. We're committed to having fun.
Yeah. So we are going to be exploring one of my favorite topics, which is this idea of coaching from source. So we've got about 40 minutes to do that. And just to set a little bit of context, and then I want to, you know, dive in and begin to ask you some questions. We've got this offering coming up, Coaching from Source, and it's really about this place that we can access as coaches where I think a lot of the magic can happen. And it's a place beyond our training and tools as coaches, which are all really, you know, important things for coaches, but it's a place where we dare to surrender and let go of the training and the tools, which can in some way maybe dampen down on the possibility of the real magic happening. So that's what I want to explore with you today, this place, because initially the idea to create this offering came from speaking with you and many other master coaches who pointed to this space, you know, as where your genius level coaching really came online. So I thought it would be interesting to begin by, because you kind of shared with me this really beautiful model, and we have explored that a little bit in our last conversation, but I think it's so important that for our conversation today, let's start by defining this model that you have to me, by me, through me, as me, and how for you Coaching from Source fits in with that.
Okay, beautiful. First, I want to give credit. We actually got the model from Michael Bernard Beckwith, who I think brings such beautiful things into the world. In fairness to him, we've greatly amended and adapted it, but the original source material came from him, the to me, by me, through me, as me. And I like it that, you know, it points at four states of consciousness. And we like to differentiate those from four stages of consciousness. Stages, you know, are developmental, like you move from, infancy to toddlerhood to adolescence. And everybody, by and large, goes through those developmental stages. States of consciousness are different in that you move in and out of them. So they're best illustrated with like the awake state, the dream state, and the dreamless state, which most of us move in and out of those states of consciousness in any given 24-hour period. So to me, by me, through me, and as me are states of consciousness, or let's apply it directly, states of coaching that we move in and out of. And quite frankly, you might move in and out of these four states of consciousness in one coaching session. So what we advocate is simply being aware of these four states of consciousness, developing the capacity to notice which state I'm coaching from, and then if I'm interested and willing to shift my state of consciousness. So that's the first frame I want to put out. These are states, not stages. You don't, I imagine it could happen, but you don't eventually get to where you're only living constantly in as me consciousness or only coaching from as me. Well, you know, you'll drift into the other states as well. So let me just say that to get going. Then I'm happy to kind of detail what the four states are as we explore what it means to coach from source. Anything come up for you as I just say the difference between states and stages and the frame a little bit?
Just I guess you'll speak to this, but maybe what I like about that is maybe acknowledges the value that each one of them may bring, and that there might be an appropriate kind of state to for each moment.
That's exactly right. What often happens when people first get exposed to this model or a model like it is that it's the natural condition that they decide they're good coaches if they're coaching in through me and as me, and they're bad coaches if they're in to me or by me. So it becomes this aspirational overlay that just allows our harsh inner critic to beat us up when we think we're not doing it right. And in my experience, that actually takes us completely out of presence. So again, in our world, it's not about being in one state of consciousness when you're with a client over another. It's about noticing what state of consciousness you're in and then bringing loving compassion to whatever state of consciousness you're in. So that's the game. And to your point, I think all four states have benefit and use. So let's dive in. the to-me consciousness is basically that. You believe that life or this particular moment, this particular coaching engagement is happening to you. So it's a victim consciousness. It's like something out there, this is the key, something out there, I refer to it as out there-ness. Something out there is the cause of my experience. So, you know, in psychology, we call it the locus of control. The locus of control is outside of me. So in very simple terms, if my coaching client isn't happy with the coaching I'm doing and they're getting upset, and then I make myself scared or defensive or angry or, I upset myself because what's happening outside of me is the cause of my experience. In other words, I'd be happy if the client was getting it, or I'd be happy if the client was appreciating me more. At that point, I've outsourced my sense of well-being. So I'm in to me. Life is happening to me. And my experience is that many of us coach from that consciousness periodically to regularly. And when I'm coaching from that consciousness, the coaching is occurring on the Karpman triangle. Stephen Karpman invented that famous triangle, victim, villain, hero, or sometimes it was called rescuer, reliever, persecutor. But the three bases are basically the way the relationship is occurring. Somebody's a victim at the effect of. Somebody is a villain, or something is a villain that's upsetting the victim. And then somebody's a hero. And many coaching relationships operate off of that triangle in the to-me space. So the client comes and they're in the victim space and they're at the effect of a person, a circumstance, or a condition that is the villain in their life that's upsetting them. And they're wanting to enroll the coach as hero, as reliever, as the one who's going to help them. And in my experience, that's where much of coaching occurs. And the deal is that triangle can flip very quickly. I can move from being the hero as the coach to being the victim. Like I said, if I feel my client isn't getting there, if my client gets upset with me, or if I believe that I'm at the effect financially of whether or not I have enough clients to pay me, there's all kinds of ways I can get into me victim consciousness. So that's the first square, to me.
Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah. Yes.
Because you said that each one has a use. And, I can see quite clearly how by me, through me, as me could, you know, have really positive qualities. But this to me, could you speak to where maybe that has a function or a use? Because it seems like, you know, it's kind of quite disempowered.
Yes, yes. Well, let me identify some of the benefits that we individually and our ego gets out of being in to me. First of all, and almost most importantly, it's familiar. Now, most of us live our lives in victim consciousness. Think about it, I'm up here in Northern Michigan where I spend my summer, and today I was planning to go out and play some golf with some friends, and it's raining and thunderstorms, and it would be very easy for me to feel like I'm at the effect of the weather and the weather is upsetting me. Or I got a call from a friend this morning and they were telling me about a mutual friend who's got fourth stage liver cancer. And I could have an experience of being at the effect of the disease. So life becomes hard. Life becomes, you know, some days it's a good day. If it's sunny, I'm happy. If it's raining, I'm sad. That's the familiar consciousness that most people live in most of the time. So one of the benefits of being in to me is it's familiar. Now, it's easy to dismiss that. But in fairness to all of us, our psychologies like the familiar. We like that which we're used to. So if I live most of my time in victim consciousness, which a lot of people do. And by the way, my theory is that most of the clients who come to you as a coach will come from victim consciousness. They will believe they're coming to you to solve the apparent problem they believe they have that is wrecking their life. And they're in that familiar consciousness. So I like to honor that our psychologies don't like dissonance. They don't like newness. They don't like moving out of the familiar into the unfamiliar. As you begin to move from to me to by me, and from by me to through me, and especially as me, coaching from source, you're literally living moment to moment in the totally unpredictable and unfamiliar, which once you've played in those spaces for a while, that becomes very exciting. But when you first go into those places, it can be quite terrifying. Can you actually trust that source will show up in this now moment, or is it easier to retract into the familiar? So that's one of the benefits of staying in to me. I get to stay in the familiar. Another benefit of staying in to me, we've learned over the years of coaching from this place, is that when people stay in to me or in victim consciousness, they're actually avoiding feeling some core feelings that they're terrified to feel. Now, that doesn't mean that they're not feeling feelings. Like the client will come to you and let's say they're feeling sad about something going on in their life. So they're presenting with sadness. But because they're in that to me box, they're using the familiar pattern of this relational dynamic to support them to feel sadness, which they're comfortable feeling, but they're terrified to feel their anger. So what they're getting to avoid is the anger that's underneath the sadness. Or somebody comes and they're willing to feel their fear. They can feel that into me, but they're unwilling to feel their broken heart. So what you find is that when you stay into me and you support clients to stay into me, they get to stay avoiding feelings that would be undoing to them. And I respect that. I respect that in my clients. I think that there's often for them a time when they need, in air quotes, to avoid a certain feeling because they're not yet able to feel that feeling in a way that's friendly to them. Mm-hmm. So one of the benefits of staying in to me is I get to stay in the familiar. Another is I get to avoid feelings that I don't yet know how to navigate. I get to stay safe. Yeah. Another benefit of staying in to me is I get to be right. What you find is that when you're in to me, when you're coaching from to me, or when you're living from to me, the ego gets to be right about the way it sees the world. There's very, life is black and white. It's either or. There's very little capacity to live with polarity. That shows up more in the other states of consciousness. And again, I think for many people, their attachment to being right is deeply understandable, especially when they're contracted in fear. They attach to being right. So I say all that, Joel, just to say, I want to be gentle with myself. It makes sense to me when I'm in to me. I like the familiar. I want to avoid certain feelings that feel tremendously scary to me, or my ego still in that moment, very attached to proving that I'm right. So I want to just kind of lovingly say to that one in me who's stuck in to me or who's coaching from to me, it's okay. It's okay. The consciousness is just contracted. And the reason is if I judge myself for coaching from to me, then I just contract further. You know, the antidote to a contracted consciousness is always love and acceptance. And if instead of loving, accepting myself and my client for being contracted, if instead I judge myself, then I just go further into the contraction. So that's why I want to be gentle with myself and coaches that I mentor and clients when we're in to me, when we're in victim consciousness. I just want to give it a little bit of loving compassion.
Yeah. I've got so many questions bubbling up. Maybe we can define by me, through me, as me, and then, and then take it from there.
Great. So when I move over into the by me state of consciousness, the big shift is I've moved from victim consciousness to what we call creator consciousness. And the gateway from to me to by me is the choice, and it's always a choice, to take responsibility. We call it taking 100% responsibility. Not more than 100%, that's overfunctioning. Not less than 100%, that's underfunctioning. But taking responsibility for being the creator of my life. Now, that moves me into by me. So now life is happening by me. And by the way, if I apply this to the coaching model, a lot of times the expertise that we gain with a system, most of us have a system for coaching, is part of that by me experience. You know, a lot of coaches, before they got trained, before they got skilled, were just people helpers and good listeners, and they had big empathic connectability, as many of them are empaths, and they would help their friends. You know, they would coach without a technology their friends, and that served them really well. But then as they continued on the journey, they thought, you know, it would probably be good if I went out and learned some techniques, learned a process, learned a system. And that's actually often what happens as you move from to me to by me. In by me, you start to learn, you know, there are some principles that kind of govern the universe. And if I learn those principles and develop mastery of those principles, then I can start to be the creator of my life. You see this like when I'm coaching couples around their relationship. Oftentimes they show up in the to me space. You know, they're at the effect of the relationship, or they're at the effect of what their significant other is doing or not doing. And they just want to get in the drama triangle and kind of fight it out and prove they're right and prove the other person is wrong. That's the normal stuck relational pattern. And then as they start to take responsibility for their relationship, first of all, they say, the cause of my upset is not my partner and what they're doing or not doing. The cause of my upset is how I'm responding to my partner. Now they're moving that locus of control to the inside. So they start to see that my well-being, my sense of peace, my sense of uncaused joy isn't created by what my partner does or doesn't do. It's me and how I'm being with what's showing up in life. So now they're moving to by me. I'm the creator of my experience. Then they say, well, you know, there are certain principles that govern, let's say, intimate relationships, like, you know, intimate relationships work well when I choose appreciation over entitlement and resentment. Intimate relationships work well when I choose to feel my feelings and support my partner to feel theirs. Intimate relationships work well when I choose to reveal and not conceal, to move towards vulnerability and transparency. Those become principles. And then I get interested in mastering living from those principles. So I've taken responsibility for being the creator of my experience. That doesn't mean that life doesn't happen. Life happens. But I choose to take responsibility. I become the creator of my experience. And I develop a set of principles or capacities that make me highly skillful at creating what I want in life. So the coach does the same thing. They develop a system, a set of techniques, a process. We all have it. It's wonderful. And as I develop mastery of that, especially when I add to that, my clients don't upset me. My lack of clients doesn't upset me. I'm upsetting myself. And then they get real curious about, in order to upset myself or to anger myself or to scare myself, what do I have to believe? How do I have to see the world? And now they start to deconstruct the mind, and they start to see how it's not the circumstances of life that are affecting them, but how the mind is being with the circumstances of life. This becomes incredibly empowering. As people move from to me to by me, they become much more empowered. And by the way, in my world, you can't coach clients to move from to me to by me unless you know how to live in by me. We're going to say the same thing about through me and as me. You can't coach clients to live in those other states of consciousness unless you know how to live in those states of consciousness. So the by me space is I'm the creator. I'm taking responsibility for every aspect of my life. So now instead of saying, Joel, I'm angry because you're doing such and such, or you're pissing me off, or something like that. That's a to me statement. Causation is outside of me. from by me, I say, Joel, I'm angering myself. And then I could get curious. How am I angering myself? What do I have to believe in order to make myself angry? Or what do I have to believe in order to experience scarcity in the world? I start to see that causation is inside of me. That's the by me space. And obviously the benefits of that are tremendous empowerment. And I get much more interested in learning than being right. I get open to moving into the unfamiliar, into the unknown. And I start to experience a little bit of the wonder that comes when I let go of my egoic attachment to stay in the familiar. And I start to get interested in this unknown space, which is at one and the same time, scary and exciting. So those are some of the benefits as I start to move into the to me space, into the by me space of consciousness.
Beautiful. Yeah. And I imagine that unknown, becoming open to the unknown, is also connected to through me as well.
That's right. So now let's move from by me into through me. And by the way, the gateway from to me to by me is responsibility. That's what I learned to take. And the gateway from by me to through me is surrender. So here's what happens. After you've started to hang out in by me for a period of time, whether it's in your own personal life or your relationships at work or your intimate relationships or in your coaching practice, you start to see that you're the source of your experience and you're creating wonderful things. For many people, after a while, you come to this place where you say, is there something going on in my life, in the world? And now the words will fail us here, but I'll just use some and we can explore them. Is there something going on in my life, in my world, bigger than me, or other than me, or in addition to me? You see, when I'm in to me, the me is huge and it's contracted in a contracted consciousness. When I'm in by me, the me is still huge because it's about living as an empowered being who's creating the life that I want. I set goals. I move with intentionality. I learn how to manifest the life that I want, all of which is fabulous. It's actually essential to master that set of skills. And then many of us, and I know you've done this, Joel, this has been part of your journey, you go, is there something going on in the world other than me? My relationships, my work, my coaching practice, my house. And most people, if they start to develop the practices of curiosity and wonder, if they start to slow down and get still, if they start to develop things like a meditation practice or a yoga practice or some practice where they start to move more and more in the stillness and silence and even solitude, they start to experience there's something else going on here. Now, at that point, again, words fail us. Is that something else God? Is it spirit? Is it oneness? Is it the creation? Is it energy? Is it the quantum field? Is there something other than me that is up to something? That's the question. Most people, when they do that exploration, come to a pretty quick conclusion that there is. Now, what if that other, now here's where you go in the exploration. What if that other is up to something? What if it's just up to evolving into its highest and best self? What if it's up to love? What if it's up to the transformation of the consciousness of the planet? So is there something else and is it up to something? We could spend weeks, Joel, exploring those two questions. Is there something else and is it up to something? Through me presupposes that the answer to both of those is yes. So through me, I now get less interest. I've mastered the ability in by me to create. I've mastered it. I can create the amount of money I want. I can create the relationships I want. I can create the coaching practice I want. I've developed the ability to be a creator of my life. Got it. But now in through me, I go, I'm interested to know if there's something that wants to happen through me? Does love want to do something in the world through me? So now I move from being the creator. I move from victimhood to creator. And now I move from creator to channel or conduit. So now the question in life isn't what do I want? That's the question of the buy me mindset. Now the question is from a place of quiet. What wants to happen through me? Now, the reason the gateway is surrender is because it's a letting go. And it's really funny, Joel, as I watch people move from victimhood consciousness, totally at the effect of the world, into creator consciousness, by me, they feel this great sense of empowerment, like, holy mud, I can really create what I want to create in my life. Now they come to through me and they go, you know, I just became a creator of my life. Now you're telling me to let go? And of course, it's the highest state of empowerment to let go and to start to flow with what it is that's happening in the world that is other than you. You know, a lot of times when we teach this, I illustrate it with sports because it really does work. If people can relate to it, it works in any sport, but snow skiing is a great example. When somebody begins as a snow skier, they start out in to me consciousness. You know, they strap these boards on their feet. The boots are uncomfortable. It's cold. They ride this chairlift up to the top of the mountain. And now, you know, they start to point their skis downhill. And their entire body is tense. They're in reactivity to the mountain, to the equipment, to the experience. They're victims at the effect of the experience. Now, they might have moments where that's exhilarating, but they're still at the effect of it. And then somebody says to them, hey, you know, you could get an instructor. An instructor could teach you some of the principles of snow skiing, like that there's a fall line and your skis have edges and where you put your weight determines how effective. And so they go take a lesson. At the end of the lesson, they've started to move from to me, being victims at the effect of skiing, to by me. All of a sudden, they're starting to feel like they're empowered, like they're in control. Like, wow, if I put the weight on the inside edge of my downhill ski, and then right at this moment, I transfer, I unweight and reweight, I can turn. And boom, 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 boom. Now, you talk to that person a little bit later, and they're exhilarated by the empowerment of moving from being at the effect of skiing to being the creator of their skiing experience. Everybody understands that. Through me happens, and all athletes talk about this. By the way, so do most musicians, so do most artists. They talk about an experience where they stopped thinking about the principles, and all of a sudden they had the experience that they were being skied. The artist says, the muse was speaking through me. It's not that the artist doesn't have mastery of their brush techniques or the musician doesn't have mastery of scales. It's all of a sudden, all of that stuff that you get to be expert at in by me recedes. For the coach, it's not that you still don't have a methodology or a technique. You do, but it recedes. It goes into the background. And now you're there with your client in this state of surrendered wonderment saying, what wants to happen through me and through us in this moment. And so instead of a directional creator experience of by me, it's this listening experience. So the key to coaching from through me, and now we're moving to coaching from source, is through me and ask me. Now I'm listening. I'm surrendered to what wants to happen, and I've cultivated deep listening. I can listen to me, I can listen to my client, I can listen to the relationship, and I can listen to, you get to fill in the blank, spirit, oneness, the creation, God, love, I can listen and follow. By the way, the last thing I'd say is, the more we teach through me leadership in the world, this surrender is not a gentle thing. When you first learn to surrender, everybody thinks, okay, I'll just surrender. For most of us, the surrender experience, and there have been, you know, volumes written in the spiritual traditions about surrender. For most people, surrender is a kicking and screaming experience. It's terrifying at some point until it becomes friendly and easeful and joyful. So that's the through me experience. There's something other going on, and it is up to something, and I'm going to choose moment by moment by moment by moment to surrender to it and listen to it and follow its promptings, its whispers, its little nudges. And you can live your whole life this way instead of getting up and looking at your calendar and go, what am I going to do today? By the way, you can look at your calendar from to me, I'm a victim at the effect of my schedule, and I'm going to whine, bitch, moan, and complain about it. Or you can look at your calendar from by me, and you can say, my calendar is a reflection of me as creator and what I'm going to create today, which is beautiful. And you can get up in the morning and say, I do have a calendar. Like, I had an appointment to talk to Joel today. Joel had an appointment to talk to Jim. But then you could listen and say, what wants to happen through me today that might be beyond or instead of my calendar? What does it mean to follow? And to me, starting to live in that space is truly the great adventure. You live in a fairly constant state of wonder, true wonder. Awe is a good word to describe it, awe. So that's the through me space. That's really now we're moving into coaching from source. And then as me, it should be as it. Because the me drops out altogether. So now we're really in through me, there's still a me that is the conduit, that is the channel through which love is making itself manifest in the world. There's still a me. The me is shrinking. It's rather dense and constricted in to me. It's more expanded and powerful in by me. It's softening and becoming transparent in through me, and it's gone in as me or as it. Now I really... it, not as a belief. You know, most people come to non-duality as a belief. It's not a belief. Well, that's fine. It's not a cognitive construct. It's an actual direct experience that there is no me and there is no you. I say to people who want to explore this, there are no problems and there is no you to have a problem. So now that's a totally different world. And when we get over there, we have to explore the question of, what does coaching even look like there? Can you find the coach and can you find the client? And I mean this as a direct experience in the now moment. What do relationships even look like? So when we talk about coaching from source and what we're exploring, you and me, and we'll be exploring, is really through me coaching more than as me coaching. That would be a whole different conversation.
Yeah. And I mean, I do think that, you know, meditating or going to a spiritual teacher and learning to, open as this as me space, this non-dual space, perhaps, can actually then make the shift into through me easier, because you're also, you know, you're familiarizing yourself with this kind of field of pure awareness and as you do so, it becomes easier to surrender.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, absolutely. So when we talk about what are some of the practical steps to take to start to experience life happening through you and coaching from source or coaching from through me, I agree with you 100%. I tell people all the time, you know, it, depending on your tradition, just go start with a 10-day Vipassana retreat. If you just start to notice your breath and do like a Vipassana meditation, scanning body sensations, let go of all, you know, clinging and aversion, and reliably you'll start to experience this thing that is occurring. And then if you want to go from there, then go start to experience some non-dual teachers, some non-dual spiritual guides. Again, both as a concept, but even more importantly, as a direct experience, including more and more, you notice what's happening in the culture now. There's more and more advocacy for, medicine journeys. And I say to clients all the time, medicine journeys are kind of a shortcut for getting to an as-me experience. And my personal opinion is that they have value for many people, some not so much value, but for many people they have value as kind of a waypoint. Very rarely do they leave a permanent experience, but they get, allow you to touch into the experience of oneness and non-duality. So once we get to what are the practical steps of experiencing non-duality or oneness or starting to surrender, then I think the things we're talking about, meditation and sitting in silence, and I love stillness, although I have a largely masculine orientation. The feminine tends to like movement and things like that to connect with the oneness that is. Very different path. So all that becomes the things that we start to give our lives to so that we can come and sit with a client and experience a transformational energy as we rest in through me and as me in the coaching experience.
I'd love to ask you about, you know, like to zoom in and on what through me coaching can look like. But before I do, I just want to sort of make a statement and then see what comes up for you, because some people listening might say, well, actually, to me, why would I bother with this through me, this surrender by me is fantastic. That's what I want. I want to create my life and create my success. And, you know, as I've explored this journey myself, and I think what I've discovered is that there is a shadow, and you've already spoken into this, of by me, which is this still a sense of being in control, and that I'm, in some way I'm denying the anxiety I feel about my my insecurity and my impermanence and my precariousness. And I'm actually trying to control my life to feel safe in some way. So, you know, I want to say, like, this is a journey for me, and I find myself getting caught in to me so much as well. But as I do my practices and open into through me, there's like life force or vitality that's dampened down by this anxiety of my precariousness and avoiding the lack of control that I have and not facing my own death in a sense. And so this life force can start to come through me, and that's incredibly, it's like I'm participating with life, as you said. And just to finish on saying that, you said before, it's not this surrender isn't like necessarily sort of gentle or beautiful. And for me, I totally get that. As I mature in this process, I feel like right now, a lot of emotions and patterning that I was just unable to deal with and face, as you said right at the beginning, you know, I'm having to face. And that's incredibly challenging. And yet there's no other way, you know, there's no going back. So I want to make that statement and see what comes up for you. And then we can zoom in on the through me coaching a bit more.
Well, I love it. I actually find your words so beautiful, what you just said. You know, your opening statement is, what if somebody comes and they say, hey, I don't really want to mess around with through me. I want to stay in by me. You know, I like being the creator. First thing I often say is, great. You know, circle back if you have a need later on. Or I might say, how you doing? How you doing at being the creator of your experience? Are you really living in that empowered state? In other words, I tend to support people when they articulate what it is that they want. Hale Dwoskin, one of my teachers, said, you know, love is wanting for another person what they want for themselves. That's a powerful statement.
And hard to do, so, yeah?
You think? you know, especially because, let's just tie it here. You know, one of the shadow sides of a distortion of through me and as me is what we might call spiritual arrogance, where all of a sudden we believe that people who are in to me should be in by me, and people who are in by me should be in through me, and people who are through me should realize non-duality and oneness. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just the mind making up a bunch of artificial constructs, and then the ego sitting as judge over those made up artificial constructs and categorizing people accordingly, and then trying to control and affect and change people. So I just say to people, great, how can I support you to become more masterful and by me if that's what you want? Now, what you're reporting when you go on beyond that opening statement is you're reporting the journey of somebody who's living more and more and through me and as me. So now you go, you're saying something like this, wow, you know, actually by me can be kind of a subtle cover for just wanting to be a control freak who can master my life. And the problem with that is all control is an illusion. It's just a total illusion. But you're starting to see through it. And of course, once you start to see through that control is an illusion, it's terrifying. Yes. Because the ego has spent all of its time trying to be in control. And then you go, oh my God, it's all an illusion. It's like I'm at my summer home, as I said, in northern Michigan. I'm looking out at Lake Michigan, which most people are surprised. Lake Michigan, where I am, looks like an ocean. You can't see the other side. It's huge, you know, and these big storms are blowing through. So they're big, huge waves, you know. Well, a way you could say this is, you know, I want to relate to Lake Michigan. And first of all, I'm going to relate to Lake Michigan in a way that I can control it. So I go down to Lake Michigan, I take a glass, and I fill my glass up with fresh Lake Michigan salt-free water. And I bring it up and I put it here in my kitchen. And then I sit there and I look at my glass of Lake Michigan water on the table. And I go, there we go. I did it. I'm relating to Lake Michigan. It's under my control. I have it contained and constrained. I've got it in a glass on the table. And there might be a sense of safety and security. There might be a sense of empowerment. There might be a sense of well-being doing that. But goodness gracious, I'm missing the adventure of being undone by this chaotic, beautiful, expansive thing called Lake Michigan. So you're there now. So now you go, having life in a glass that I can contain, that I can, you know, feel empowered by, is satisfying. Because if my other option to that is just the chaos of being thrown about, not surrendering, just fighting it into me, then I'd rather get it controlled. Okay, great. But after a while, staring at a glass of Lake Michigan water on my kitchen counter while looking out at the window at this massive, beautiful, ever unfolding actual thing, eventually I'm going to get bored and say, this amount of control is an illusion. I'd rather surrender into the bigness. That's what you're doing. That's why you can speak to that.
Yeah. And being able to conduct the intensity of life, you know, and developing my capacity to surrender, you know, and only can I do that by welcoming, by acknowledging and accepting my experience moment by moment. And let me ask you about coaching in this way. Like, what's it like for you when, and you're coaching, you know, executive CEOs of companies, big companies, and leaders who are leading large groups of people, you know? So, I mean, some people listening might be like, well, this is all very nice. It sounds, you know, a bit spiritual, but this is incredibly practical. Tell me how 3Me Coaching serves your coaching and the leaders you work with.
Yeah, beautiful. So let's make it incredibly practical. At a very practical level, whenever I'm coaching somebody, after we do a brief check-in and get present through some breathing or some brief meditation or something, I'll ask them, so what do you want to explore today? And they're going to bring an issue. It could be a problem, but it also could be a possibility. They're going to bring something. Okay, so this is going to be the presenting agenda. Now, if I'm a buy me coach, then I'm going to use my technology, my methodology. And, you know, at the Conscious Leadership Group, we have a very thought through, we have literally a coaching flowchart that we teach our coaches who are beginning to learn this. Here's the way you coach somebody. We call it coaching from context versus content. But it's a process. It's a very thought through process. So I could bring my process to the presenting issue that the client brings. And by the way, I will do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I will do that. But long before I meet with the client in my meditation that morning, as I'm opening to the day, I might say, what does, and I, again, fill in the blank, I might say, what does love want to do in, as, and through me today when I meet with Joel? Let's say that's the name of my client. And again, I'm listening. I'm in a surrendered mode. You know, Joel might have an idea of what he thinks the issue is that we're going to explore. I might have a process, but I'm surrendered to something other. So you show up, you give me your presenting issue. I listen deeply and respectfully to what your presenting issue is. But while listening to you, I'm also listening to source. Now, again, we can go into what that looks like, but I'm listening to source. Now, that could be something as simple as this. I might say, Joel, I understand that what you're wanting to discuss is this. You know, as I tune in, I just notice a thought arose in me that I just want to share. And the thought is, I'll just reveal the thought. And it might be related to the presenting issue or totally unrelated. Or I might say, you know, when I tune into that presenting issue, I notice I feel sad. And I'm just wondering if there's any sadness here for you. Or when I tune into that issue, I might notice a different set of body sensations. The source can be speaking to me through images, sounds, words, pictures. It can be coming through the affective channel of the heart. It can be coming through body awareness. And so I'm respectfully listening deeply to the client, deeply to myself, and deeply to the other. And then I'll bring that in. And it's not uncommon at all, Joel, that I'll bring up something that is not being presented by the client. And the client will say, they might just spontaneously start to cry. Or they might just say, well, I can't believe you brought that up because, you know, that's really what I'd like to talk about. Or something like that. So that's the surprise idea. You know, when you have mastery of your coaching process, the client presents content, you're deeply skilled in following through a process, you're empowering them to become the creator of their life. But after a while, that process can become kind of familiar. Whereas as you rest in oneness, as you listen to source, I am never, ever bored. Well, that's not true. I'm sure I'm bored sometimes. Rarely, if ever, am I bored in any kind of a coaching experience because it's dynamic, it's ever creating, it's unfolding, and love, spirit, oneness, God, the universe is here doing something now, and I'm listening and following. So I think in the course, we'll talk about three ways to listen. Listen to yourself, listen to the other, listen to source. And we'll talk practically about how to do that and give some assignments around if you're willing to surrender. Because by the way, the surrender there is if you stayed with your coaching protocol, you'd have a pretty good idea of where this coaching session is going. But you're surrendered to source, and you're going to follow wherever source takes you. And by the way, that's not always, that can become chaotic with the client because you're in devotion to whatever you're going to call that. So that's a practical way that it looks.
Nice. I know we've just got a couple of minutes left and just want to say one thing and then ask you maybe to do a super short 30-second summary of what you might share with coaches in the program. But that sense of letting go of the control of something coming through the coaching, it's palpable. It's novelty coming through, insights that have never been had before or words that have never been spoken that have such a depth of truth to them. And that if aligned with can have such a huge impact in the client's life. Like this is so practical. So I just wanted to emphasize that again and maybe say now, like, yeah, what will you be sharing? Yeah.
Well, I believe the plan is that we'll go deeper into to me, by me, through me, and as me. And again, you know, this will be interactive. I've heard myself talk about this enough. I'll present some simple models. Then when we're doing this program, I want to interact with people. I want to actually coach somebody on having a direct experience of what it is we're talking about. But we'll go deeper into the model of to me, by me, through me, and as me. We're also going to go deeper into the Sedona method, which is learning to actually source approval, control, and security from the inside. At first, that can, you can feel like you're the source, but what you'll discover is that approval, control, and security don't have to be sourced by you. They already are. And it's developing a reliable ability in this now moment, because you can't do it in the past, you don't do it in the future, in this now moment to realize that you are already totally approved of, everything that needs to be controlled is, and you're totally secure. That's the basis from which I can rest in source in the now moment, and therefore be available to it with my clients. So we're going to look at the Sedona method, approval, control, security. And then we're going to talk about this three-way listening, how to listen to yourself, how to listen to your client, and how to listen to source in the coaching experience. And we'll talk about whatever else comes up. But that's That's some of the content we plan to talk about.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, I just want to express my gratitude for the fire hose of wisdom and knowledge that came through you today. I love it when you get in your groove and share in this way. So thanks very much.
You're so welcome. As usual, Joel, it's just a delight to be with you. Yeah. You know, we're resting in that same field and we're like two little kids playing. It's really fun.
All right.
Bye, my friend.
Take care, Jim.
Thanks for tuning into the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it. And a reminder that the early bird enrollment is now open for our upcoming live training with Jim Dethmer and Bob Anderson. It's called Unlocking Leaders, and it's going to teach you how to coach at the level of consciousness, which is, for me, the highest leverage move you can make as a coach. Your client's consciousness is the place where the deepest, truest transformational breakthroughs come from. And often traditional coaching misses this, and it's something that our clients need us to learn as coaches. Because our times are calling for something deeper. We've got to go beneath the content of our experience, beneath strategy, to the source of change. And that's exactly what Unlocking Leaders is designed to teach you. I'm so proud of this program, of what it's become. I feel it's our offering in these times. And if you're ready to answer the call of these times, then you can join the full program. So just head to coachesrising.com/leaders to book your spot. And remember, you can get the early bird discount if you join by 29th of May.